Once again, today I do ask a great interest in your prayers. I'm going to be reading this morning from 2 Kings chapter 2, if you would like to turn with me there. 2 Kings chapter 2, and I want to read beginning with verse 1. 2 Kings chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood up to view and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And I'd like to stop reading there with verse 14. The thought that I have today that I want to share with you is that there's something, I want to use these words for a title. There's something I want before you go. Elijah asked Elisha, "What can I do for you before I go?" Last week, and I say this to just show you how the Lord works among us. And I don't know about you, but actually I think I do know about you. I think you're the same as me. I haven't been able to come here lately. Not that I want to, but I just haven't been here lately in our services without feeling a great presence from God. I believe the Lord is with us. I know that He's with us. He's with us here today. He's with us in the things that He directs us to do. Jesus promised the church that He would always be with her. "I'll be with you always, even until the end of time." And He is. He's not here in His physical body like He once was among the church in the early days of His church when He was physically here on the earth, but He is here through the presence of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. That's how Jesus fulfills His promise of always being with His church. And last week, and as I started to say, I say this just mainly to let you know how God works in our lives and works among us. Last week in our service, Sunday morning service, as Brother Lowe stood up to testify, stepped up to the microphone over here, and he began to talk, and he said, and I'm sure I'm not going to be able to quote him word for word, but I remember well the essence of what was said. And he made reference to the fact that he didn't know why God wanted him to do that, but he knew that God wanted him to testify. And he made reference to the fact that he didn't want to testify unless the Lord was telling him to, but if the Lord was telling him to, he didn't want not to. That's how it should be. We should never talk just to talk. We ought to do what the Lord tells us to do. I remember many of the things that he said. I remember his exhortation to the young people of the church in telling us that we would have to have a commitment to the Lord in order to carry on. Good advice. But while he was testifying, and I know that the things that God leads us to do, that we don't always, in fact, probably most of the time, we may not be able to see at the moment why God would have us to do that, but you know, that's not our business, is it? Our business is to just do what God asks us to do and leave the working and the results of that with the Lord. Let Him do with it what I don't know what the Lord will do today with this message, but I do know that He gave it to me. And it's mine to just deliver and let God do what He wants to do with it. But as he testified there last Sunday morning, the Lord reached down and blessed my soul. And I didn't really understand what it was all about, honestly, until a couple days later. I laid down in my bed at night. My wife was already sound asleep. I laid down there next to her, and the Lord began to speak to me. I love it when the Lord talks to me. I'm not worthy of hearing him. I'm not worthy that the Lord would speak to me, but I'm glad that he does. And when he starts talking to me, I know who it is. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And I believe we do hear him, don't you? I know that the Lord speaks to his children. That'd be hard for any child if their parent never spoke to them, wouldn't it? I'm glad that God looks down upon us from time to time, and with that still small voice, he begins to speak to our hearts. He spoke to me there in my bed, and he brought that testimony back to my mind. It was fresh in my mind. I began to reflect on the things that were said in it. And the Lord stirred my heart through that and gave me this message. So, Brother Lowe, I don't know what all the Lord will do with that testimony, but I know one thing that he did with it. Gave me this thought through that. We need to follow the leadership of God, because he is going to use it when we do. I don't know how, as I said, I don't know how that the Lord will use the things that I have to say today, but I know that he will. If he didn't intend to use them, he wouldn't have given them to me to share with you. God has a purpose in the things that he does. In these scriptures that were read, and Brother Wheat this morning in Sunday school, like it seems to happen many times, he spoke a little bit about this. There was among the Jews, there was something very important and very special about their firstborn son. In fact, we read how that, when Esau did what he did with the selling of his birthright, just selling his birthright for what the Hebrew writer called a morsel of meat, selling his birthright for a little bit of bread and some soup, basically, is what he did. That was very disgraceful. He was called in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, by what he did, he was called a profane person for having done that. What Elisha was asking here of Elijah was that which under the Mosaic law would have been given by the father to the firstborn son. The double portion of the inheritance was something that was done under the Mosaic law. You can go to the 21st chapter of Deuteronomy and you can read about that. In that chapter, it tells us, Brother Weed also mentioned, spoke this morning about polygamy, and we know that that was prevalent in Old Testament times. And in that 21st chapter of Deuteronomy, it talks about if a man has two wives and one of them is beloved and one of them is hated, if his firstborn son is born of the wife that is hated, he is not to withhold the blessing from that son and give it to the firstborn of the beloved. He is to give that double portion to the firstborn, period. That was the law. Now, you can't give away, and I want to clarify this, because you cannot give somebody twice of what you have to give. If you're going to bequeath something to someone, if you did that in the amount of dollars, if you had $1,000 and that's all you had to bequeath someone, you couldn't give them $2,000. And so it wasn't meant, the double portion wasn't meant in that way as being double the amount, but it was double what would be given to the others. And in this chapter that was read, the sons of the prophets come to play in that. You know, as we read these verses, it mentioned there that as Elijah would say that he was going to Bethel or that he was going to Jericho, wherever that it was, it mentioned there the sons of the prophets. And I'm going to tell you here what I believe was being asked of Elijah. I believe that when Elisha asked him for a double portion of the Spirit, he was asking him from a spiritual standpoint what the natural son would expect from the father from a natural standpoint. I believe Elisha desired of Elijah double of what the other prophets were going to receive from him. But here we have two men, and you know, I don't like to study anything in the Scriptures. I don't like to read anything in the Scriptures and take the view that this was something that happened long ago under circumstances much different than ours. I don't like to approach anything in the Bible that way. Everything I read, I want to know, how does this apply to us in our type of a day? And I believe there's a great lesson for us to be learned from what happened here with Elijah and Elisha this day. Now you can go back to 1 Kings, and you can find there, I believe, chapter 19, but if that's not right, I'll look it up for you. But you can go back to 1 Kings and you can find that, and I'm sure that all of you here well remember and are well familiar with the story of when Elijah was fleeing Ahab, or fleeing Jezebel rather, that he went up there to a mountain. You know, first he went and he sat down there under the juniper tree, and the angel of the Lord came to him and told him that he needed to eat and he needed to arise and he needed to eat because the journey was too great for him. And Elijah went there to the mountain, and there was the earthquake and there was the fire, and the Lord wasn't in those things, and God spoke to him through a still small voice. And Elijah, while this was going on, he did, in my estimation, you may have a different view of it, but in my estimation, Elijah did what many of us are prone to do from time to time. He started having his own little private pity party. Oh, Lord, look what's happened. They've killed the prophets. They've torn down the altars. I'm the only one that's left. Listen, don't ever fall into the trap of thinking you're the only one left that's doing the will of the Lord. That's not going to happen. But he started pitying himself, I believe, and he said, I'm the only one that's left, and look at what they've done, and I alone am escaped. I'm the only one that's left serving you. And the Lord came to Elijah, and he assured him, he said, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel that have not bowed unto Baal. God had other people that were serving him. You know, we're all expendable in God's work, aren't we? The truth will never die with any one of us. As we pass through the scene of time, God will use us, you know, while we are here, but the truth will not die out when we leave. The workmen will be buried, but the work will sure continue on. We see so many examples in the scriptures that when one person, one servant of God is about to pass from the scene of life and go and rest from their labors, that God has chosen someone else to be their successor. And thank God that it's that way. So in that chapter and there in 1 Kings, after Elijah had said the things that he did, God told him to go. He wanted him to anoint a king over Syria. He wanted him to anoint a king over Israel, and he wanted him to pass the mantle. He wanted him to anoint Elisha as his successor. And you can read about all that in that chapter. And so Elisha knew before this time that we have read about here in 2 Kings, Elisha was aware of the fact that there was something that was going to be passed on to him from Elijah. And I want you to notice, and I want us to look at a few of the things that happened here. First of all, we're talking about two men that were absolutely dedicated to the cause. They were dedicated to the cause of God, to the cause of Israel. And God was getting ready to take one of them away. Now, here's a thought that I want to share with you. I don't want to discourage anybody in any way, but I think that we know, the living know that they shall die, the Bible tells us. We know that our labors here will be but a few days. We know that our life is a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away, and we know that there's going to be a generation that's going to come, and that generation's going to go, and another generation is going to come. And friends, I want to declare to you today that it is extremely important what one generation leaves to the next. I mean, it's really important. Listen, when Elijah was getting ready to leave, when God was getting ready to take him away, there again, if you go back in the first chapter of Kings and read about his meeting there with Elisha, Elijah had already taken his mantle at that time and put it on Elisha, showing him that he was going to succeed him as the prophet of Israel. And so when this day came that we're reading about there, when these two men there crossed the Jordan and Elisha was caught up, when God took him up there in the whirlwind and the mantle fell from him, where he was going, he wasn't going to need it anymore. That mantle wouldn't have done him any good where he was going. He wouldn't have had any need of it. But Elisha, who was left behind, did have need of it. And we know that with every church, and we know that with our church, we know that we have people here that have served the church, have served her well for years. And we are aware, as these sons of the prophets, we're trying to make it aware to Elisha that your master is going to be taken from you. Now, our situation may be a little bit different in that Elisha was being told that it was going to be that day that his master was going to be taken from him. You know, Elisha was Elijah's servant. You can read about ways in the Bible that he served him. And listen, friends, we ought to serve one another. In fact, we serve God by serving each other. And if you don't want to be a servant, if you're too puffed up in yourself to be a servant, if you don't want to serve others, then you will never find your rightful place in the work of the Lord. I'll tell you today, church, I am your servant. That's what we are. Elisha served Elijah in many ways. But we know that those that have done the reconnaissance, those that have walked the way before us, we know that they'll be taken. Responsibility can be scary sometimes, you know what? But we know that with each generation, that the work of the church, the work of the Lord, is going to fall on the next generation. And I pray that with each time that it's passed on, you know, it's much like a relay race. It's much like when you put four or five people out there on the track and they run a relay race. You know, the first person, he runs his portion. He or she runs their portion of the race, and when they have come to the end of their portion, they pass that baton on to the next person until they run their portion of the race. And that's the way that it is with the church and with the work of the Lord down through the ages of time. The baton has been passed to the next runner. But you know, what's important is the race. The cause is what really matters, not us. The continuing of the Lord's work is what's important. Elisha was just not willing to let go of Elijah. He wanted what he had to leave to him. You know, there's a cooperation, I believe, here, because God, as I said, had already showed it to Elijah that he would pass that mantle on to Elisha one day. And Elisha had a great desire for that. And I pray that that is the type of cooperation that we will always have, that those that are older among us, those that have reached a point that they realize that their portion of the race is just about finished, that they will have a desire to leave to us what they might be able to leave that will help us to further the cause, but that also that those of us that are coming behind that generation, that they will see in us what Elijah saw in Elisha, and that is a desire to have what they can leave. I say this today to those of you that are older than me, that have walked this way before I have, and perhaps will leave the work before I do. Of course, we realize that's something we never know. But I say this to you today. I don't want you to leave me your money. I don't want you to leave me your house. I don't want you to leave me anything that will give me an advantage in this world. But I want you to leave me everything you can that will give me an advantage in the work of the Lord. You won't need it anymore. You won't need the mantle anymore. The time will soon come for me. The time will soon come for you. I mean, my life is passing me quickly. I realize that every year that passes by, how much quicker that life really is. And I know that the time will soon come that it'll be time for me to cross the Jordan there. It'll be time for God to receive me into His home that He has prepared for His people. And I hope and pray that God will help me to leave something to somebody that will help further the cause of Christ. And I heard a voice saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Yea, saith the Spirit, from henceforth they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Elisha would not let go of Elijah. Elijah said, Elisha, I want you to wait here. I've got to go to Bethel. Elisha said, no, I'll be right on your heels. I'll go with you. They went. He said, I want you to tarry here, Elisha. Now the Lord is sending me to Jericho. Elisha said, no. As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I won't leave you. I'll go right with you. But they finally came to the place there at the Jordan where Elisha knew that God was about to take Elijah. Elijah looked at his persistence and he said, ask. Ask what I can do for you. Ask what I can give you before I'm taken away. And his answer was, much like the answer of Solomon in his prayer. You know, when God blessed Solomon with wisdom, you know what he said? He said, when that was what Solomon asked for, he asked for wisdom to guide this great people of Israel. And God said, your prayer is heard and granted because you didn't ask me for long life. You didn't ask me for wealth. You asked me for wisdom. And I'm going to grant you that and the other things as well. Elisha wasn't asking for something from Elijah to benefit himself. He wanted what he knew would help him to benefit the cause of the Lord. Give me a double portion of your Spirit. Let it rest on me. Let it fall on me. You notice that when the mantle fell, Elijah went back there. Elisha, rather, went back there. He took the mantle and he wrapped it up. He smote the waters. He didn't say, where is Elijah, did he? He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When one generation passes from the scene of time and another generation comes in, there may be all sorts of differences, but there's one thing you can take to the bank. It'll be the same exact God that they'll be serving. The same God. That's exactly what God assured Joshua. When Joshua succeeded Moses, he said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. As he was with Joshua, he was with Judah when Judah succeeded Joshua, and so on and so forth. God will bless his work throughout time. And I want you to remember this, whether you're young or old, if you're serving the Lord, I mean, if you're really serving the Lord, I want you to remember this. And I'm convinced of this with all my heart, that for every Elijah, there is an Elisha. Somebody is watching you. Somebody, you may not even realize it, somebody is looking up to you. Somebody is going to desire to have what you have learned. Somebody is going to want you to pass it on to them. We need to watch our lives because they're being watched, aren't they? We need to be about the Father's business because somebody, I guarantee you, somebody is watching you. If you're serving the Lord and truly giving your life over to the Lord, there's an Elisha out there. And you need to know, what can I give you? What can I do for you? You need to inquire, rather, what can I give to you before the Lord comes to take me? And as younger Christians, you know, I was taught, my mother especially had, this was one of her pet peeves. I was taught, when I was raised, I was taught to respect my elders, to love them and to respect them. And as younger Christians, you know, we may get puffed up sometimes in ourselves, and we may think, well, those old fogies, you know, I mean, I've heard it said, you know, they don't want to do anything that we want to do. But listen, we need to take the wisdom that God has given them, and we need to apply it to our lives. And, you know, if we will do that, if we will take the things that are passed on to us and we're going to learn things on our own from God for ourselves as we go, then, you know, one generation ought to be able to better serve the Lord than the generation that went before them. That's how it ought to be. If you are a skilled carpenter and you can pass those skills on to your son or your daughter, as far as that goes, I guess girls could be carpenters if they wanted, but you can pass that on to somebody else. If they can take what you know and learn what they're going to learn, they ought to be able to be a better carpenter than what you were. I mean, that only makes sense. But I'm afraid sometimes that we just fail to take advantage of what we have to offer one another. God bless you today for your service to the Lord. I appreciate all of those. I think Elisha had a great respect and a great love for Elijah. I think he looked up to him. I think he really wanted what he knew Elijah could give. And I think if you study their lives, I believe in many ways Elisha was even a better prophet than what Elijah was, if you can look at it that way. I believe that he did more miracles than what Elijah did. And when Elijah left that mantle to him, it was a great help to Elisha. We don't need to take things with us when we go. We need to leave everything that we can that someone else may be able to use. So God bless everyone that is willing to give their life over to the Lord, because I guarantee you, one way or another, God will put it to you somewhere to further His cause. Let's have just a verse or two of a song. Thank you for your attention today. I hope, and I know it's been a weak effort, but I hope something's been said that's been helpful.